I'm going to put up a few slides just to as my introduction to begin with, and kind of thinking quite a lot this week about who draws alongside and helps. Huh? Hello? Is it not? I'm thinking about, you know, famous characters or films that I knew, and I was thinking about them, and this is Star Wars. Now, believe it or not, I never watched Star Wars, but Chewbacca is always there for Han Solo. You see them together. The next one you might know a bit better is Dr. Watson. He's always in the background when it comes to Sherlock Holmes. He's faithful, he's his companion, he's his helper. He's in the background quite a lot, and he's his friend, the man in the background. My favourite of all time, next to Rocky, of course, is Top Gun. And Goose is on the left with the 1980s moustache. And Tom Cruise is Maverick in Top Gun. Goose is what's called the wingman, I think it is, that he's always there for him, never leaves his side. In times of trouble and difficulties, you've got the wingman who is always there backing you up and alongside you. And then, of course, we've got a couple of examples from the Bible. We've got Elisha and Elijah, and we've got Moses and Aaron. And of course, whenever Moses was going before Pharaoh, when God had called Moses to go before Pharaoh, he wouldn't go. He didn't want to go. He made every excuse under the sun. And then the Lord brought Aaron along beside him. He became Moses' right-hand man when it came to going before Pharaoh. And then, of course, Elijah and Elijah, prophets in the Old Testament. Elisha just didn't want to let his master go. They wanted to look to his friend, his companion. He was really having difficulty when he knew it was time for Elijah to go. Such was his love for the prophet, and he wanted to stay with him. So these are examples of what it is to have a right-hand man, someone who's always beside you, someone who wants to help you and be there for you. And this week I'm continuing on from where Dave started last week. Seated at the Father's right hand. And our theme, of course, is the ascension of Jesus. Jesus from the cross, resurrection, death, resurrection, now seated at the Father's right hand, and he's there at this present time. Now, seated at the Father's right hand, we are on earth, as you know, and we did a series of talks already, Sit, Stand, and Walk, were our last series, just before this one. And these are the three instructions given for the Christian, for living the Christian life. We need to learn what it is to sit, what it is to stand, and what it is to walk. Based on where Jesus is at this present moment in time, we know he's at the Father's right hand, depends not, is the focus for us, where we should be looking to, and it is the basis for how we should be walking in this life. Where we are seated depends, is wholly influential on how we walk. Because if we're not focused and know where it is we are seated, then our walk won't seated. Then our walk will be affected by that. So we are seated with Christ in the heavens while walking on the earth. Okay, I'm going to give you a quick... So here we are. It's a throne where we're seated. But we're constantly, at the minute, we're walking this life. And what you have to sort of bear in mind as we go through this is that we are constantly seated in the heavenlies. That is our position. That's where we are. But we are out walking, we're walking in this earth. We are co-heirs with Christ in the heavenlies, but we're still here in this earth, but we're still co-heirs, even though we're on the earth. And we have to walk this world, our life, knowing that the Spirit of God is reigning within us. So I'm going to do our first reading this morning. It's Colossians 3:1-4 up here. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. I'm going to do one other text reading later on from Psalm 110. In this Colossians, what we're looking at is what it is and where we are. We are seated with Christ. And We're in the heavens. Everybody said that, seated with Christ in the heavens. But we are still walking on the earth. And you're saying to me, well, we're walking on the earth, Keith, and we're seated in the heavens. How do we make the connection? How do we be walking on the earth and be seated in the heavens? And how do we connect the two? Well, the simple answer to that, and every Christian should know, is that it is by prayer that is our communication with God in the heavens. In other words, the only way we can connect the two is through prayer. How can we focus? It's through prayer. By seeking God's will in our lives, we need to be doing it in prayer. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will, Father, be done in my life. How's that being done? Well, I've got to outlive it, but I've got to communicate through prayer. Prayer is is the instructions that we have, that we give, that we want, that we bring before God. God, I want you to work in my life, in these areas, for example. And so we're asking God in prayer. It's our main tool that we have, our main weapon that we have for focusing our thoughts and bringing our worries and everything that we have to God in prayer. It's really, really important that we realize that this is how we communicate with God, and it is how we use our seated in heaven and walking on earth. That's how we join the two. Okay, so I'm going to give you an example. I'm going to give you two examples. In the morning, I take my kids to school in the car, and we have this thing in the morning where we always pray in the car. It's so important that we start our mornings in the car. So we take turns and we pray in the mornings. And this week we had the most amazing revelation in our car. Hannah was praying, and then when she'd finished praying, she said to me, "Daddy, is it okay that I can pray with my eyes open and my hands not closed?" And I said, "Of course, Hannah." She said, "Daddy, that's good, because I do that quite a lot. I would speak to God and with my eyes open and not praying, so people don't know that I'm praying." And I said, "That's wonderful." And then Rachel in the back pipes up, "Well, God speaks to me." And I said, "That's great." And I said, "How does he do that?" She said, "Well, when I pray to God, I can hear God talking to me." I said, "That's great." And then Hannah piped up, "Well, God speaks to me in my mind." And I thought, that's a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old, and they have grasped the importance of what prayer is and how God speaks to them. And that very young, early faith that they have, and it's developing great. And that's a good example for me. It showed me a lot today that, you know, God, you're speaking to me. My problem is I'm not saying it and I'm not hearing it. And yet here's my two children. They're living examples of this. And so a bad example would be a drama comes into your life, or a crisis, or a trial, and all of a sudden you go for the 1-minute prayer. "Oh Lord, please help me, I'm in such trouble. If you don't help me, Lord, I'm going to go under." And it's a disaster. And that prayer, that type of prayer, is all focused on me. It's a me prayer. You know, it's a getprayerquick.com, I'm in trouble. And by the way, that's my website, don't do that. And it's because you're focusing on you, your trouble, your situation, the thing that's come upon you, everything's about you. Nothing is about Jesus, his position, and our positions in him. That's where the prayers go wrong. So, we have to understand, first of all, and you know, I've really learned during this talk this week, what it is to be seated at the right hand of God. We must understand what it is for Jesus to be seated at the Father's right hand. What that means for Jesus, how he got that position, why he's there, and what it means for you and I. I'm going to read Psalm 110. This is a well-quoted psalm in the New Testament and throughout the church ages. Psalm 110. I love verse 1. "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion and rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power. In the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning, you have the dew of your youth. The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He shall execute kings in the day of your wrath. He shall judge amongst the nations. He shall fill the places with dead bodies. He shall execute the heads of many countries. He shall drink of the brook by the wayside. Therefore he shall lift up the head. I mean, this is King David wrote this psalm. It is an amazing psalm. It's prophetic. It's talking about Jesus, his position, the positions that he's gained, where he is, what he is doing, and what he is going to do. It is an absolutely fantastic psalm. And I'm going to break it down into three very simple headings here to go through this morning. So we've got the Father, the Lord, said to my Lord. When you think about that, I mean, and Jewish thought can't get their head around this, but the Lord said to my Lord. Two Lords. The Lord said, the Father said to the Son, if you want to break it down. Then you've got the right hand. This is where the Son is seated at the minute. He is at the right hand of the Father. And of course, seated is the position that he is in. The Father is God Almighty. He sits on the throne and he rules forever. So you've got the Father, the right hand, and seated. The Father sits on the throne and lives forever, creator of all things, God Almighty. And then, of course, with God Almighty comes all authority and all power. He's our very substance. He's everything to us. God, our creator. And then we have the right hand. The Son is seated at the right hand of God. There's no higher authority or position. The Son is equal. The Son of God has equal authority, and all authorities and powers are subject to him in this position, in the right hand. And then, because he is the right hand of God, his work, he's seated because his work at Calvary has been completed. Therefore, he is now seated at the Father's right hand. The work of redemption is complete. Sits on the throne and lives forever, all authority and power. All those three attributes of God the Father can also be seen in the Son. God has given these to his Son. As Son, Jesus had equal authority with the Father, but as a man, he had all authority in heaven and earth delegated to him. No higher authority over him except God the Father. So important this morning to see this little diagram and realize the position that Jesus has. There's no other above him except for God the Father. He is seated, his work is completed, he's finished the work of redemption, but he is continuing in intercession and government. This is so important. Jesus didn't sit down and do nothing now. So at the cross, and we know this is the very Northern Irish thing that John was speaking about this morning, the work of redemption is complete. You will walk down the street. I heard it last week. That's actually what we were discussing. And I was walking down the street and there's a man standing, and I have no doubt he was giving a great gospel message talking about the cross. Jesus died for you at the cross. Jesus died for you at the cross. It's brilliant. We know it. Northern Ireland, it's well preached, well documented. But if you go up and challenge the person and say, yes, I know he's conquered the cross. What did he do for me? What did he do for me? Where is he now? Oh, he's conquered the cross. Your sins are forgiven. Death is defeated. Your sins are forgiven. I know that. But where is he? And it's very challenging to push a preacher and say, well, tell me the next bit. Well, his work is completed on the cross, but he is forever making intercession for us before the Father. And in the government, he is ruling as king and power of all. Northern Ireland preachers, stop at the cross. The cross is brilliant and we need that. But we need to understand what Jesus is now doing and what he is going to do. It's so important. And the first verse in Psalm 110 is fantastic. I love it. It opens my eyes to everything that's happening. But also, I love this. I will make your enemies your footstool. And I thought this was my great word. Defeated. Like that. And the reason I've used that, it's because all Jesus' enemies have been defeated. They're under his foot, under his footstool. The fellow tells us that Jesus' enemies are his footstool, under his power and his control. They have been defeated. The same applies for us in Christ, and we forget this. All our enemies have been defeated at the cross because of what Jesus has done for us. Our enemies are, and you've got to grasp this, are subject to us. We have defeated them because of what Jesus has done for us. We have the victory in Christ this morning. We have been adopted. We are sons of God. We are joint heirs with Christ. And we can claim and stand and proclaim our position in Jesus this morning. Our enemies are defeated. They are on our footstool. And we don't grasp it. And we let our enemy beat us. And we let our enemy come and beat us about. I got beat about this week. I got beat about from last Monday to this morning. I got slapped and beat, pushed about. I had a really bad day. I got it in the ear hole from clients all day long. And then I got it in the ear hole when I come home from my wife. And then I went out to put petrol in her car for her and got it in the ear hole from somebody because I put it out in front of them because I was busy thinking about how I got beat all day long. And I said to the Lord, is this ever going to end? I had to keep my focus on what was happening this week, which is, you know, the sermon. So, keeping our focus, knowing that our enemies have been defeated, what have we got to do? We've got to put on the glasses to help us see better than we actually see. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. And I'm using these special glasses because our eyes sometimes aren't enough to see what's going on. We're not seeing everything that's happening. When we have the situation or the challenge ahead of us, we see it with our own eyes and then we go to the default, lastminuteprayer.com, which is help me quick, I'm in trouble. I'm in difficulties, things are going wrong, where are you? We need to open our hearts, the eyes of our heart, to see what's going on. I prayed this week that God would open my eyes so I could see exactly what was happening and the principalities and powers and everything that's going on all around us that we don't see. We need to have our eyes opened and enlightened, and we need to see in wisdom, we need to see in the Spirit, and we need to have revelation to what's going on. We need eyes that can see what God's doing. And ask God to do this for us, to open our eyes, to open our hearts, to see and to hear and to understand. And, you know, many times Rita has given a word in here about open our eyes, open our hearts to see what's going on. And I often thought about it, and she gave it a few times. And I said, Lord, what are you saying? I'm not getting it. It's only months later in this talk this morning that I understand what God was saying. It's not open your eyes because you can't see. It's open your eyes to the things that God is doing. And the Spirit reveals it to us. Gives us wisdom and revelation. We've got to see beyond the situations that we're in to realize what God is doing in them. You might think that God's got us in the place like Job. Where Job, everything was going wrong. You know that Satan came into the presence and said, can I basically attack your servant Job? God said, fine. And every time Job was being attacked, did he once turn around and accuse God or say that God was doing this to him or blaming God for what was happening? No, he didn't. He kept his eyes fixed on God. And that's hard to do when you're in that situation. But he kept his eyes fully fixed upon God. We are learning to see where we belong. Learning to see where we belong. Do you understand? Learning to see that we belong in heavens. We're seated in the heavenly places. We don't belong here on the earth. We are not a resident of this earth. We're walking here, but when we accept Jesus, we become a new resident in heaven, and therefore we're aliens, if you want, in this earth. We need to see with the eyes of faith and focus on Jesus. We need to be sure of our position in Jesus, seated as co-heirs, and we need to see that we are more than conquerors in Christ. We too often are full of what goes on. Our glasses maybe start to get dirty. We don't see what's happening. And our vision becomes blurred. We've got to realize our heavenly positions this morning and know that we are conquerors in Christ. Like I said, our enemies are our footstool. So learning to see where we belong. You know, this is how our glasses get sometimes. Very, very dirty, maybe scratched, not wearing them properly. Our vision becomes blurred. We're losing our focus. We're concentrating on circumstances instead of looking to Jesus, and we're letting our circumstances control us. Like I said, our circumstances are under our feet. They're our footstool. Don't focus on your troubles and your worries, being focused on the problems. Instead, focusing and looking to Jesus. He is the author and the finisher of our salvation. He is seated at the Father's right hand. He is the one who intercedes for us. We bring our prayers to him. And Jesus is true and just faithful to answer them. You know, sometimes when the troubles are coming in and we start to lose our focus, you think, well, you know, you look at the disciples. You look whenever they're in the boat with Jesus in the storm. Jesus is sleeping. The disciples in the boat, there's a great storm hits them and they start to panic and worry that they're going to perish and disappear and die. And of course, Jesus is in the boat. And all the time they said, do not worry that we're going to perish. Jesus accuses them of having their faith is weak. And same with us. Jesus is not in a boat with us. He is our right-hand man today. He is beside us, always. And so whenever the storms of life are coming in and battering us, it's not that Jesus has deserted us. He hasn't been disappeared. He is right beside us. He is our right-hand man. So Psalm 110 tells us these things. That Jesus, the Son, is our high priest. Because he is a high priest, we are adopted sons. We have access to the Father. And we are shown mercy and grace at all times because of this. The Lord said to my Lord, God the Father said to the Son. It's an amazing, amazing verse to hold on to this morning and to know the position that Jesus has beside the Father. He is seated as King. But not only is he seated as King and all authority and power has been given to him, he is also seated as High Priest. And as High Priest, he intercedes for us because we are adopted sons. Because we have now access to the Father because of his position as great High Priest. And we can come to him in prayer in times of need, in times of sorrow. And we can come and know in confidence that he is going to hear our prayers. And that he is going to show grace and mercy. That he is going to help us in times of difficulty. He is not going to reject us. He is not going to cast us aside. And he is not going to leave us to sink. Jesus is our great High Priest. And he ever makes intercession for us. So Jesus is holding the position, seated at the Father's right hand, as ruler over all authority, all power, and he is also the great High Priest. And there is none above him. So what do we do? Knowing where we are, knowing our position, what do we do? Okay. We will focus our prayers on Jesus as the King and the High Priest. We must do that. Like I said at the start, don't focus our prayers on ourselves. Look where I am. Look at the difficulties. Look at the problems. Look at all of this. Change your focus up to Jesus. He knows. If we take our focus off him, we're heading for a car crash. We will remember that we are not under our circumstances, but reign over them. The example I gave of the footstool. Our problems are below us. Okay, they're confronting us, but they are below us. Because Jesus reigns in us. And because of that, we reign over the situations. And we will focus on Jesus as our High Priest and come boldly for grace and mercy. I mean, if Jesus isn't our great High Priest, we're wasting our time. He's the only person that we can come to receive grace and mercy, to receive the help and the guidance and everything that we need from him. If he isn't a great High Priest, we may as well pack up and go home. And we will... We are more than conquerors over any situation of trouble. It's amazing how two words are the wrong way around can throw you. We are more than conquerors in every situation because of Jesus and what he's done for us and he is doing for us. And that is the other bit that the great Northern Ireland preachers leave out. They talk about what Jesus has done, what he has done, what he has done. That's great. But it's what he is still doing, which is more important. Okay, I want to go back to where I started. Stand by me. Goose and Maverick. And I want to ask you this morning, and this is a real question for you all. Who is your wingman this morning? Who is your prayer partner in this place in Shiloh? Who do you go and ask to pray with you or for you? And I know that there are some of us in here that have people like this who are our prayer partner. somebody that we can pray effectively with and together. It is effective, it is scriptural, and it is powerful. And the reason I'm saying this morning is that we default back to the me, me, me prayer. So if you go to somebody who you pray with, it could be your husband, it could be your wife, it could be your friend, they don't take the focus on you. They take the focus to Jesus because they aren't in the trouble and they know where to go to. So you go to them and say, I'm having a really bad week and this is going wrong. They're listening to what you're saying because that's where you are. But they know to take it straight to Jesus because they know that's where to go to. They don't focus on your problem. They take your problems and they say, Jesus. They pray to Jesus. And this is so, so important for us. Now, we have our right-hand men. I mean, for example, on a Wednesday night, the leaders, me, Dave, and Taddy, we come together and we pray. We always start in prayer or end in prayer. And we discuss Shiloh. We pray about the situations going on, the people who've been sick, for example, Jean, who was sick there for a few weeks. And we take it before the Father. And that's a great example of praying together. So as a church, we need to stand by one another. We need to come together and we need to be strong together. We don't pray individually. We pray collectively. We are one body in Christ. We are not separated out. When one part of the body hurts, the rest of the body hurts. When Jean was hurting, the rest of us are praying. Just because we're not by her side at the bed and all that, whoa, how are you, and all this, we are praying effective prayers because we know to pray to the Son who is seated at the Father's right hand. We know he's making intercession for us and for Jean. And so therefore, we are praying on her behalf. That is the great example of what it is to pray to Jesus and the position that he holds. We should be praying knowing our position in Jesus seated in the heavens. And we should pray believing that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. People used to say to me, especially my mum, she said, son, you're terrible for walking around. You used to walk with your head in the clouds. That's what she said to me. Your head's in the clouds. Your head's in the clouds. But you know what I love about that? My head is in the clouds because my head is in the heavenly places. And I can walk around all day with people saying that to me. Because as far as I'm concerned, I am seated in the heavenlies. So when I pray, I am looking to Jesus for everything. He is my great high priest. He has all authority and all power over every situation in my life. There's nothing taking place in my life that he does not know about or that the Father hasn't permitted. And he is my great advocate before the throne. And his Father, of course, is my Father, God the Father. So this morning, hopefully we now know our position. We know the position that Jesus holds and why he holds it and what he is doing, that he isn't just taking it easy, that he is now still working in a sense that he's interceding for me and he has all authority and all power over every kingdom on this earth. And we know our position in Jesus now, and we know now that we should be praying to Jesus at all times because he is our good advocate that we go to. And to bring it all round to us, we are a family in here this morning. We are a body in Christ. And when one hurts, we all hurt. We need to learn to pray together, pray for each other, have our wingman. And if we're praying like that effectively, we're praying together as a body, we will grow, we will strengthen, we will be a stronger part of the body, and we should really see real changes and strengths taking place in Shiloh. Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning for all that you have done for us. I thank you that your Son Jesus is seated at your right hand. I thank you for the position. I thank you for all that he is doing for us at this moment and all that he is going to do for us. I thank you, Lord, at any time I can come before you and ask you, Lord, to strengthen us, to help us and to guide us. Lord, continue with us this week and help us to remember that our heads are in the clouds, that we have a position seated with you. And we thank you, Lord, for everything that you've shown us this morning and continue to show us in Jesus' name.